welcome to Understanding Your Bible. Again, I want to thank you for joining us in the broadcast tonight, and I hope that you will take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures as we go through the Bible study and look at some things in relation to understanding your Bible and some keys to help you understand your Bible. Each week we talk about things that we hope will help you to have a better knowledge of the Scriptures and also will make them easier to understand. I mentioned several times that a lot of people have the idea that the Bible is hard to understand, and while some parts may be more difficult than others, there are certain principles in God's Word, if we will follow, we'll find that the Scriptures are not as difficult to understand as many people make them out to be. For example, the Gospel is very simple. The Apostle Paul said that he was afraid that people's minds would be corrupted from the simplicity of the Gospel, and that's exactly what has happened today. People have confused the issue, and they do that because so much of tradition is mixed with the Scriptures. And what we want to do is we want to take the Scriptures and show you what the Bible says to you today in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, if you've got any questions about the things that you hear on the broadcast or you've got any comments, we'd be glad to hear from you. We'll be giving you information at the end of the broadcast about where we're located, where our church is located. This broadcast is a part of the ministry of Grace Bible Church. We're located here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we will give you the address, the telephone number, and also our website, where you can visit the website and get more information about what we believe. So if you would like to get a pencil and paper, you could use that to jot down the Scriptures as we go through them today. And you could also write down the information there at the end of the broadcast concerning where we're located and how you can get in contact with us. And if you have a question, we'd be glad to get that from you, and I'll give you a call and answer it. We'll not put any pressure on you, put you on any kind of mailing list, but we would love to hear from you if you would like to contact us about the information you hear on the broadcast. Now, we're going to start today with a scripture that we generally talk about, and that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Apostle Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I believe that the major key to understanding your Bible is to understand that not all the Scripture is written directly to you. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, that from Genesis to Revelation, I believe that the Bible is equally inspired. Every word of it is inspired of God. I believe, as Peter said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I believe that they wrote down exactly what God wanted us to have written down. Not only that, I believe that God has preserved His Word for us in the King James Bible. And I believe that the Word of God has been preserved for us today so that we can preach that Word. And Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished on all good works. And so if God has not preserved His Word for us, then preachers could not be furnished to do the work that God has called them to do. So we have the Scriptures. But it's important to recognize and understand that not all the Scripture is written directly to you. It's all written for you to read, but it is not all written directly to you for doctrine. For example, on our board up here, we've got the Scriptures laid out as they are laid out in the New Testament. The first four books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those books, we find the teachings of Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry. Matthew 4, Matthew 9 says that Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 10, He committed it to 12 men, and He told them to go out and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, when you go, don't go to Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in Matthew 23, He said that the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. He tells them in Matthew 24 that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. He is crucified, and so in Acts 1 through 8, we find that they carry out that ministry, they being the 12 that Christ gave them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and after Acts chapter 9, I think there's only one or two chapters in the book of Acts where Peter is even mentioned, and after that, Paul becomes the focus, so that after the book of Acts, the next 13 books in the Bible are Romans through Philemon, the epistles given to the Apostle Paul. In those books, we find the gospel of the grace of God. We find it was committed to Paul. We find that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And in this time period, we find the church, the body of Christ. Hebrews through Revelation, the doctrine of those books will match the doctrine of the kingdom gospel in Matthew through John. And the emphasis over there is on the tribulation period and the millennial kingdom. Last week in the study, we looked at some things in the book of James, for example, that differed from the things in the book of Romans. James said that faith without works is dead. Paul said, to him that worketh not is the one that gets salvation. In other words, in Romans through Philemon, the doctrine is the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith without the deeds of the law. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that works mixed with faith brought about salvation. In Hebrews through Revelation, works mixed with faith brought about salvation. Now, on the broadcast today, what I want to do is show you certain facts, just certain scriptural facts, and read the scriptures and encourage you to believe that these scriptures mean what they say, where they say it, to whom they say it. Because when you look at these scriptures and compare these scriptures, you will have to acknowledge that either the Bible is full of contradictions or that there is a difference in the program between the nation Israel and the body of Christ to whom Paul was sent and to whom Paul wrote Romans through Philemon. The first thing I want you to notice is that under the kingdom message, as I mentioned a moment ago, under the law, works were always a part of salvation. But under the dispensation of grace, salvation is a free gift without works. Now, there's a lot of verses that we could look at, and we just don't have time to look at all of them. But in Matthew 19, man came to Jesus, said, "What must I have do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "I've done all that." And so he said, "Well, go and sell what you have, give alms to the poor," and so forth. And he said, he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. Notice the requirements there. Jesus Christ did not say, "Well, by grace are you saved, and I'm going to die for your sin," that kind of thing. The stipulation was, keep the commandments. Peter, in Acts 10:34, the Bible says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." And James said in 2:24, "You see how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Romans 4:5, Paul said, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now again, let's look at two verses here. In Acts 10, Peter is speaking. And Peter is the chief apostle as far as Israel is concerned. His first message, he said over and over again, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Well, Peter said, "In every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Paul said, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now listen. If you believe English words mean what they say, you would have to acknowledge that when Peter said, "In every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him," is not the same thing Paul said when he said, "Not of works, not by works of righteousness, and not of works lest any man should boast." Those things are not the same. The difference, folks, is that one has to do with the message preached to Israel under the law, under the kingdom doctrine. The other has to do with salvation by grace through faith in the dispensation of grace. Now, secondly, something I mentioned a moment ago. Christ specifically taught his disciples and others to keep the law. Matthew 19:17, he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou enter life, keep the commandments." Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. In Acts 21, verse 20, And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto them, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are that believe, and they are all zealous of the law. In every one of those verses, the law is important. The law was necessary. But Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. You see, the kingdom doctrine back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John included keeping the law of Moses, as it did in James, Hebrews, all those epistles over there. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so, when the Apostle Paul came on the scene, was given the revelation of the mystery and the salvation by grace through faith, the gospel of the grace of God, he said, we've been delivered from that law. We're not under the law. The third thing I want you to notice is in relation to baptism. Now, water baptism is a work. It's a physical work. And it was a necessary part of Israel's salvation. But I want you to notice that today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, and we did an entire study on baptism. If you didn't hear that and would like a copy of that audio tape, you can contact us and I'll get it for you. But the fact is that baptism has no place in God's program for today. Why? Well, in Acts 2:38, Peter said, Repenting to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Paul, in Acts 16, when he was asked about salvation, he said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And in Romans 11:6, he said, And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Baptism was just one of the works that was involved and included in the message of salvation for the nation Israel. It's excluded in the gospel given to the Apostle Paul. He said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So there's a difference. I want you to notice the difference in forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, part of the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer the Lord taught the disciples to pray, Jesus said, If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Another condition on forgiveness. But in Colossians 2:13, Paul said, And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. You see, in the kingdom program, there were conditions for forgiveness. As a matter of fact, in the kingdom program, there was an unpardonable sin. Jesus taught that there was an unpardonable sin, and he did so in Matthew 12:31. He said, Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, again, we must rightly divide the word of truth. Those words of Jesus were in association with the kingdom program, the kingdom gospel. He said there was an unpardonable sin, but notice what Paul says in Paul's first recorded message in Acts chapter 13, verse 39. He says, And by him, that is Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, there's a change when Paul comes on the scene. Paul said today there is no unpardonable sin. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, that he himself was a blasphemer. But God showed him mercy. And so there's a difference in the kingdom gospel, the kingdom doctrine, and church doctrine. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ very specifically told the 12 to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. But you know, Paul received a revelation from Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9 when he was saved on the road to Damascus. And the Lord never told him to preach that gospel of the kingdom. You see, that gospel of the kingdom was to be preached in all the world, and then the end would come. Well, then we know that the end hasn't come because the gospel of the kingdom hadn't been preached in all the world, and that program was postponed. It was put on hold, if you will, in Acts chapter 9. And Paul was saved, and God ushered in the dispensation of the grace of God, the dispensation of His mercy and grace, and started the church, the body of Christ, with the Apostle Paul. And so today, we're living in a parenthetical period called that dispensation of grace. And the doctrine for us today is different from the doctrine of time past or that which is to come. Paul said in Acts 20:24, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." In other words, Paul was not told to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Paul was told to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And those gospels were altogether different. The gospel of the kingdom was based upon the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They were to believe on His name, believe that He was the Messiah, and believe that God had raised Him from the dead after He was put to death there, proving He was the Messiah. But you know something, folks? Today, a person could believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. A person could believe that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh and believe that He was buried and raised again the third day and still not be saved. Why? Because Paul said the gospel is Christ died for our sins. He became our sacrificer on Calvary. It's not an issue today of simply believing that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. It's believing in the work that Jesus Christ did on Calvary as a payment for our sins. And so the gospel today is Christ died for our sins. He was buried, raised again the third day. As a matter of fact, when we believe that gospel, our salvation is immediate. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 that we have now received the atonement. On the other hand, the nation Israel believed that Christ was the Messiah, but their salvation would not be complete until He returned. In Acts 3:19, Peter said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." As a matter of fact, Peter preached that the salvation of the nation Israel would come when Christ returned and sit upon the throne of David. Acts 2:29, he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." According to Peter's gospel, the Lord was going to raise up, Jesus Christ was going to return to earth to sit upon the throne of David, and that was the purpose from which God raised him from the dead. Paul said, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David," 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, "remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And he says in Romans 4:25, "He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So again, we see a dramatic difference. Now, let me finish up the broadcast in the time we have remaining here by showing you some very practical instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the 12 that differ whenever we get over to the dispensation of the grace of God. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus Christ said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" Now the reason for that is that Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom will supply all the needs of the 12 as they sit upon the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why in Acts chapter 2, as they were preaching this gospel of the kingdom, you can be assured that Peter and James and John expected the Lord to return very soon. In Acts 2:44 and 45, the Bible says, "All that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." It's always amused me that people that go to Acts chapter 2 and use the doctrine there as though it were church doctrine and claim the tongues and the miracles and the signs and the wonders do not do what this church did in Acts chapter 2. Well, listen, everything they did in Acts chapter 2 was associated with the ministry that they had there of preaching the gospel of the kingdom, looking for the Lord to return to earth and establish His kingdom and sit upon the throne of David. Why would they need anything if they've been told, "Take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on"? Obviously, they didn't need it. But you know, the Apostle Paul, when he received the revelation of the mystery, he realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was not going to complete His work with Israel. And if you want to read about that, you can read about it in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He says, "All Israel shall be saved as it is written." And he talks there about the second coming of Jesus Christ when He roars out of Zion. But Paul uses Romans 9, 10, and 11 to explain that God has postponed His dealings with Israel and is now dealing with men on the basis of His grace through faith. And that's why there's a difference. While Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." You see, that promise over there of meeting their needs and the fact that they sold what they had and had all things common was in light of the fact that they expected Christ to return, and when He did, He would meet their needs according to the promises He gave them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, as the ministry of Peter and James and John and the other 12 began to diminish, there was great consternation among the nation Israel and the Jews there because they expected the Lord to return. I want you to notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust." Notice what these scoffers said. "And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." In other words, the whole chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, deals with the fact that the Lord hasn't returned yet as they expected Him to do. And so they were scoffers. They said, "Listen, He hadn't returned yet. He's not going to." Peter said, verse 8, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, I want you to notice some very amazing verses in the last part of the chapter. Verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things," that is, the coming of the Lord, "be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." In other words, Peter is saying that the only explanation for the Lord not returning at the time they had thought He would return, when He preached there in Acts 3 and said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord," that coming had not occurred. And he said the only explanation is found in the epistles of Paul. Why? Because in the epistles of Paul, we find that God interrupted that program with the nation Israel and began the dispensation of the grace of God. And for some 2,000 years now, God has been long-suffering. That long-suffering, that period of long-suffering, has provided all men today with the opportunity of being saved by believing the gospel. And so, rather than rebelling against the truth of rightly dividing the word of truth and rebelling against the truth of the grace of God, we should glory in it and rejoice in it, for it's that period of long-suffering, the dispensation of the grace of God, that gives you today the opportunity to be saved by grace through faith, trusting totally and completely in what Jesus Christ did on Calvary for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust in what He did, and God Almighty will save you this very minute without going to church, walking the aisle, or anything else. There where you are right now, if you'll believe the gospel and trust Jesus Christ, God Almighty will save you. Why don't you do that right now?
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.